Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Best Drive of Your Day now officially underway. Your week is underway as well. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission right here on the Sports Grid Network. And boy, do we got some topics we have to get into, because did you enjoy your past weekend? Were you betting on Major League Baseball? Did you watch a little college football action? Can you not wait another week and a half until we kick off the NFL regular season on a Thursday night, followed by a Friday night football game in Brazil? Oh, you know it. I'm excited. I can't wait for it to happen. And also keep in mind, week zero in college football is like a nice little appetizer, right? We'll get to the games in a second because I got a lot to say about them boys down at Florida State. But if we just leave that here, week number one, do you guys understand what this week actually means? It's Labor Day weekend. So a lot of you out there might have off a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday here, that nice long weekend to end the summer, because once Labor Day is over, to me, it's officially fall. Ready to go, pumpkin spice, hoodie temperatures up here in the Northeast. That's what I'm looking forward to. But college football does you guys a solid out there. They really do. How about this weekend that we saw games on that Saturday and we watched? But this week, Thursday night slate, Friday night slate, Saturday slate, Sunday slate, Monday slate. It's like a bonanza out here in the streets, people. If you enjoyed this past weekend just to see real football on your television that absolutely mattered, get ready for this weekend. Now, the matchup's phenomenal, not necessarily, but the fact that everybody basically will be participating this weekend, that is going to be extremely exciting to watch. And if your team plays, you know you're going to get that first look. You know you're ready to sit down and watch a game. I can't wait for it here. Thursday, going to be sensational. Some decent matchups. Colorado opens up their season against an FCS team only favored by what? 8.5, 9.5 points, depending on where you're shopping at. That should be fun to watch. The Miami Hurricanes taking on the Florida Gators. Something to tune into as well. How about Clemson and Georgia, people? Get excited for this weekend's NCAA action. But let's go back this past weekend and find out what happened. Now, for me, the one game I said I'm confident maybe in a side was Georgia Tech getting 11.5 points, which I believe was down to 10.5 on game day. But outside of that, like just trying to take some flyers on what you think is going to happen in the props market, I thought Florida State and Georgia Tech would have a decent scoring day. Not necessarily, only scored 45 points easily, staying under that total. But how about the start to that game? Florida State opens up, walks right down the field, punches in a touchdown on the Toa Feely run, followed by a two-point conversion. It's 8-0. Georgia Tech counters with a touchdown. You got 15 points right off the bat in the first two possessions of the game. And you thought we were going to be on the way to a track meet, and nobody was going to stop Florida State on offense. And they completely got humbled the rest of the way, which they finally scored a touchdown in the fourth quarter after two decent fourth and long conversions just to get that tying score at the end of the game, which allowed Georgia Tech to go to the length of the field and kick a field goal, and away they went as a victor. DJ Uiagalelei, 193 yards passing, no touchdowns, no interceptions. That's just not good enough. It isn't. So if we're looking from a Florida State perspective, and we might even say, and we talked about this a little bit earlier on the early line with myself and Ben Stevens, does Florida State actually have a legitimate chance to make the college football playoff with a loss? Now, we also had a poll that we put out on X, and typically we do that every morning. It's the Fade the Public poll, and the question was, do you think Florida State can still make the college football playoff? Overwhelmingly, 8 out of every 10 votes, if not more, were coming into the no. And you say, wow, that's interesting, because you're allowed you're allowed a loss, basically, if you still want to get into the college football playoff. It used to be in the past, take a loss, you're leaving things up in the air and you're probably not going to get in. But now you can have a loss. But the interesting part of it is Georgia Tech was an ACC game, which means you now have a loss in conference competition right off the bat. And it's no longer like two divisions that you're playing in at this point. It's just one whole conglomerate now, the ACC, where the top two teams get to play in the ACC championship. And keep in mind for Florida State, it looked like they had a nice little pathway to victory the first five games before they went up against their first rank-on-rank competition game. But now you're going to take on Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, and also Florida. We'll see where they are at the end of the season, but it's always a rivalry game down there in the state between Florida State and Florida. I see at least one more loss on their schedule, which should knock them out. And also, game number one being an ACC game, was so detrimental, man, because now you're losing the matchups and you're going to lose the, you know, if it comes down to a tiebreaker, if Georgia Tech is actually a decent team, it just makes it so, so much tougher for Florida State to win. But that's not even what I really care about at this point, because entering into the season, Florida State was number 10, which should tell you something about the ranking system. As many of us have said, you probably shouldn't have rankings through at least the first month of the season. You have no idea how these teams are going to be. But rankings are fun to give ourselves something to talk about. And right now, rankings aren't as important as what they were in the past. Because if you only had 1 versus 2 playing in a championship, or like last year's playoff, only 4 teams, well, you better be ranked up high early in the season. Because if you do take a loss, you don't stumble all that far. As opposed to a team that starts at 21, takes a loss in game number one, runs the table, can only get up to 5th by the end of the season, and you get left out of the competition. That's not the case now. You can't afford one loss, but for Florida State to lose to Georgia Tech 24-21, that was devastating. But here's what I want to talk about at Florida State. What did you get out of this offseason for them? They retooled, right? DJ Uiagalelei, new starting quarterback, comes over from Oregon State. Previously for himself, he had been at Clemson. You take a look at a couple of running backs, ultra-talented in that Florida State backfield. It was supposed to be just reload and get after it. But, just saying the way Florida State's season ended last year, and thank goodness they were left out of the college football playoff because they weren't a very good football team once their starting quarterback went down. It was apparent they didn't deserve to be one of those 4 teams, and they showed their true colors in the game against the Georgia Bulldogs in the Orange Bowl where nobody played. Now, Grant, you could say to yourself, well, what did you want them to do, play? Not necessarily. That's up to the coaching staff to say. Like, I have 85 players on my roster. If 13 or 14 leave, I should be getting beat by 60 points to another opponent? No, because you have to also keep in mind the Georgia Bulldogs weren't playing for anything either and were devastated that they had gotten left out of the college football playoff. So if that game would have ended 24-21 last year in the Orange Bowl, I'd say, you know what? Guy had their ear, talking about Mike Norvell, head coach of the Florida State Seminoles, and they could move forward. But they got embarrassed so bad. I'm like, let me see how this offseason goes. Like, let me see how these players react. And their season technically isn't over. But did anybody think watching that football through, take away the preseason ranking, Florida State number 10, Georgia Tech not ranked. Take away the point spread, which was anywhere between 13.5 to 10.5 throughout the past, let's just say, 1.5 to 2 weeks. You watch that football game, you might have even thought to yourself, like, no, Georgia Tech should actually be favored here because they were the better football team. Outside of that first drive by Florida State, they were so far and away the better football team in that game. They end up winning the game, and rightfully so. That wasn't a fluke upset. That wasn't let's tear down the goalpost for Georgia Tech, because quite frankly, I thought Georgia Tech was the better football team in that game. Florida State comes back this week in a game against Boston College at home, and I know how college campuses work. Like, you're expecting to beat Georgia Tech. Florida State had a big following over there in Dublin, Ireland. Now when they come home for their home opener, not as exactly as exciting as it would have been if you had not Georgia Tech and kickstarted your season in prominent fashion. Tough scene for Florida State, but maybe this Mike Norvell just can't get that team up. What a devastating end to the season last year and a horrendous opening to the 2024 college football season for the Florida State Seminoles. We got a lot more football to talk about, a lot more Major League Baseball, and certainly hot topics right here on Moneyline. Come on back with me after the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. The best hour of your day officially underway. Of course it is right here on Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission, and it is a game week here. It's week number one in college football. A full slate. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Happy Labor Day weekend. Then kicks off into an NFL start to the season on the following Thursday. So good times, certainly all the way around. Let's get to some of these NFL hot topics there that are rushing around. If you're watching, you know, and seeing some of the, I don't say, social media posts per se, Nick Chubb, who blew out his knee, exploded it last year early in the season, went on the IL, rehabbing. But it looks like that rehab is going to take a little bit longer. Now, the post does say here that he is technically still ahead of the pace to coming back from such a devastating knee injury. But if you heard it week two last year, he's going to be on the PUP list, which means he's going to miss the first four games of the season, which is going to wipe out his September slate. And also, you're talking about a running back now. And, you know, sometimes quarterbacks enter into their prime in their late 20s. That's not typically the case for running backs. And we know that's not going to be the case for Nick Chubb. That is a tough scene all the way around, man. One of my favorite running backs now trying to make his way back, and he's not all the way there. So what are we going to get out of the Cleveland Browns and Nick Chubb? I don't know. But I don't think it's going to be advantageous for their season, because you're talking about the Sean Watson guys, who we are expecting a better season than what we had last year, and hopefully he can get back into his Houston Texans ways. But at the same time, he's missing practice time because of arm fatigue. And now Nick Chubb's not going to be available for the first part of the season. Boy, you're talking about a division that's going to be so, so tough to win. And now we have question marks at the quarterback position and the running back position right away for the Cleveland Browns. Certainly something to keep an eye on. But that's never good news when maybe you expected him, usually knee injury, 6 to 9 months. But again, if you're blowing out multiple ligaments as opposed to just the ACL, it is going to take longer. And what will we see when he comes back? Hobbling guy? A guy not ready? Is he going to be ready by mid-October? Could he gain his legs back by late in the season, which might help the Cleveland Browns propel themselves into playoff positioning? I'm not putting much stock here in Nick Chubb for 2024 if he's already going to be listed on the PUP list coming back. Who knows if we saw those dominating performances in the past? Maybe just staying in the past for Nick Chubb. Also, taking a look at some wide receivers that might be available. Jordan Schultz, an NFL beat writer, list sources. Multiple teams have reached out to the Texans to see if wide receiver John Mechie III would be available in a trade due to the plethora of wide receivers on their roster. It's unclear if Houston would move him, but several teams are keeping a close eye on the situation. And he was a former second-round draft pick. How about that? Too much talent now on the Texans this year? Sky is the limit for young quarterback C.J. Stroud. Wide receivers so good, they're phasing out recent second-round draft picks who probably can still play at a high level in the NFL. That's a pretty good sign there, no doubt about it. Now, if we keep it in the wild, I was going to say the wild card wide receiver field, did I see a note here from, I think it was Diana Russini, that Ja'Marr Chase had returned back to practice on a Sunday, which is pretty good here for the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, whether or not they're getting close in contract negotiations is a completely other system here, because I don't know if they're still negotiating. They said, oh, look, off-season's the time to do it, even though we didn't want to negotiate with you in the off-season. That's when you're supposed to. That's what the owner, Mike Brown, was telling the public about that situation. But we know he's sitting, and Ja'Marr Chase is having a sit-in, not a sit-out. He's been at training camp, but just not practicing. I always find it funny, like, I guess he can't find them, but they're not practicing, so technically you should be able to find them, and maybe you're working on things behind the scene, but the player doesn't want to practice. Does he just start practicing now and say, oh, well, I tried my best from my agent, and I'm okay with playing for a few million dollars when other wide receivers in my same shoes are getting paid upwards of 50, 60, 70, and $80 million in guaranteed contracts plus at this point? Or is this going to be okay to return back to training camp and say, you know what? Tried, and it just didn't work out. I don't know. How about the Dallas Cowboys? How about Jerry Jones coming up with a week and a half, basically, on the start of the NFL season? CeeDee Lamb not even showing up to training camp at this point. Does he reappear down the star in Dallas? Does he get a new contract that's settled this week? Because you are already now in full installation process across the NFL for getting ready for week number one. Offense and defense. Now, we do understand over the next couple days, about, what, 1,100 or so players are going to be cut from NFL rosters from here to the start of the season? That's crazy turnover. And your coaching staff now is figuring out who is the best players for your football team, and more importantly, what game plans are we going to install for week number one? Brandon Ayuk, we still haven't heard anything out of there from that San Francisco camp. They tied their final preseason game 24-24 with the Vegas Raiders. So we're still waiting on Ayuk's situation to be figured out. I don't think anybody gets traded at this point. So I still don't think the Steelers, the New England Patriots, the Cleveland Browns, the Washington Commanders still have their irons really in the fire for hoping to get Brandon Ayuk. It's apparent, he wants to stay in San Francisco and just making sure that the money is right for when he does return to practice at that time. Still some things to keep an eye on, no question about it. Now here's also one final wide receiver point. Juju Smith-Schuster. Do you remember that name? Yeah, he won a world championship with the Kansas City Chiefs. Then he was a New England Patriot. Didn't work out all that well, formerly of being a Pittsburgh Steeler. Do you know where Juju Smith-Schuster finds himself once again today? With the Kansas City Chiefs. Need a little bit more help at the wide receiver position to start the season due to some injuries. Familiar with the Andy Reid game plan. He'll see if he can resurrect his career. But quite frankly, when he was with the Patriots, man, that dude absolutely looked cooked out here. Now, maybe you can be reinvigorated. Maybe Andy Reid can dial up your plays once again. Maybe you can beat James Bradbury when he pulls your shirt slightly to win a Super Bowl championship. That's all something out here, right? That's all something. But Juju to the Chiefs doesn't really raise any eyebrows for me. Just a name at this point. And by the way, did you know the New England Patriots are on the hook for $7 million in guarantees? So if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, even though I do think he's a big cook, Juju Smith-Schuster, he does know the system, as I said, but more importantly, he's not going to cost them a penny out here. Basically, a base salary for him that barely is going to count against that salary cap due to a veteran. Hey, maybe it works out in their favor. We got a quarterback competition I want to talk about coming back here after the break, and some suspicious comments coming from this team's head coach. I think you know where I'm headed. That's to the Steel City next. It's Donnie Wrightside Radio on a Monday morning edition of Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Quarterbacks, two spots still up for grabs, people, with a week and a half to go till the NFL season is underway. And we like to talk about that here on Moneyline. Is it really a betting aspect to it, per se? Not necessarily, but some people did lay wagers here on who would be a quarterback of the New England Patriots, who would be the quarterback here to start the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And those are the two teams that are still up in the air. I do want to focus on the Pittsburgh Steelers first, because we saw a game and, you know, NFL Rewind, NFL Plus, whatever you want to call it. I do subscribe to that because during the preseason, I'm not going to be in front of my TV all that much on the weekend just saying, hey, honey, I got to watch this, you know, third string quarterback, second string quarterback, whatever, for a certain team play. Like, no, you can go back, watch a condensed version, get the, you know, bits and pieces, how they looked, if they were comfortable, see if some things line up. But the one thing I did want to watch, though, was the Pittsburgh Steelers game. Russell Wilson versus Justin Fields. Who's going to be the starting quarterback for the 2024 season opener, which is coming up in roughly a week and a half at this point? nothing is still worked out there. But I did see that first drive here, of course, ended in a touchdown for Russell Wilson, 2 of 2 on that drive, but a 31-32-yard touchdown run by a tailback, which was Cordell Patterson. I was like, okay, yeah, that's what you wanted. But keep in mind, it was against basically second and third string players on defense. Justin Fields then comes in behind him, leads his team down the field on a touchdown drive as well. But Mike Tomlin, after the game, was telling us, you know what? Loved everything I saw out of Russell Wilson in that game. What a leader on that first drive. But honestly, we've been led to believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers are automatically going to install Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback. They've told us that all the way through. Mike Tomlin has told me that all the way through. It almost doesn't matter what Justin Fields does. Justin Fields could have went 30 for 30 in the preseason for 6 touchdowns, no interceptions, and ran 15 times for 150 yards and another score, and Russell Wilson would still be starting day number one for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it looks like that's going to be the case here. Now, is that going to save the Pittsburgh Steelers season if Justin Fields plays more or if Russell Wilson plays for? Not necessarily. But I do think that there's a chance that the Pittsburgh Steelers can come in third place in that division, but still maybe be a playoff contender. But what I've seen out of the preseason from Russell Wilson, he just looks slow and he looks indecisive. And maybe that's going to be even better than Kenny Pickett was last year where they won football games. I don't even know how they're winning games at this point. But I just watched Justin Fields, and even if it doesn't work out from him, it seems like there's way more upside with Justin Fields than there is with Russell Wilson. Now, maybe you don't get as clear of passer with Justin Fields, but maybe he can come into his own if he is the starting quarterback. You get the drift here. You're just watching the Pittsburgh Steelers right now saying, I just think they're mismanaging everything by not leaving it to an open competition, but it looks like we're just shoehorned to believe that Russell Wilson is going to be the starting quarterback week number one because they've been telling us that all along. Now, let's set the table for this one. The Patriots. We don't know if it's going to be Drake May, first-round draft pick this year, to take over the helm for the Patriots, or if it's going to be Jacoby Brissett, which has, you know, been there, done that before, started games in the NFL, being that placeholder-type quarterback, giving you some decent quarterback play as really a game manager. But do you need a game manager for the New England Patriots this year? I mean, let's be honest. A game manager for them means what? 17 points a game, 5 games if they're lucky that they're going to win this season. Or do you just hand over the reins to Drake May? Now, an Adam Schefter tweet came out and it said, Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo said on WEEI that Drake May is outplaying Jacoby Brissett. But there are other factors to weigh in naming the team's starting quarterback. Now, usually I would absolutely rip on that and say, what else do you need to see than your young first-round pick playing way better than Jacoby Brissett, who's the older veteran that might be a mentor figure to Drake May? But when you get into the details of what he's actually saying, I actually think he's right this time around, because the only starting quarterback, or should I say the only quarterback that was drafted in the first round that I thought would be a questionable move to start was Drake May. And it wasn't because we don't think he's going to be a quality NFL quarterback. The kid's athletic, he's got a big arm, he shows a lot of talent, and he's way more talented, obviously, than Jacoby Brissett. But the questions come up is, are you going to ruin this kid? Because that schedule to start the season is really tough for the Patriots. And the last thing you want to do is ruin the confidence of a young rookie quarterback, because you don't have a good enough running game, you don't have a good enough offensive skill set that's going to help him. And what's worse to a young quarterback trying to learn the ropes? You want to give him a fighting chance. You want to give him solid wide receivers, a solid offensive line, a solid ground game, a good defense to say, you know what, kid? You don't have to go out there and put this all on your shoulders. Just play within yourself. We'll move the football. We'll play good defense. We'll keep you in games. And that'll set up the maturation process for your career. Gerard Mayo just might be right. Maybe his team stinks so bad he doesn't want to risk Dre May getting beat to a pulp out there, people. We'll be back. It's Moneyline in the Morning right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Guys, we're going to get to Major League Baseball in just a few moments here. Got a couple doubleheaders today. Decent slate on a Monday. Is it as juicy as maybe we would like it to be? Not necessarily, but I do think we can make some money. By the way, wins and losses sometimes come down to what the heck is going on out there. The reason I bring that up is yesterday, the linchpin for my winning day was the Chicago Cubs going up against Adam Oller on the mound for the Miami Marlins. I did take them at a depressed price where they had them in a parlay where they just needed to score three runs and I would have cashed in a ticket. That lost. I also bet them straight yesterday to score over 4.5 runs. That lost. I also bet the over in the game between the Marlins and the Chicago Cubs at 9.5. That lost as well. I had a very good day prop-wise, which sort of lessened the blow, but I had a nice day set up if the Chicago Bears, I should say. It might as well be the Bears to me at this point, because it is football season. Sayonara, Chicago Cubs. But if they just would have scored one more run, we would have been profitable yesterday. But no thanks to them scoring two total runs against a dead-in-the-water team, the Miami Marlins. As I said, we'll get to baseball in just a few moments. But ESPN did release their top 100 football players in the NFL coming up for this season. Now, we're not going to go over 100 of these players, but we are going to go over the top 20. We're not going to spend time, you know, person by person and say exactly what we think about these players, but I do find it interesting sometimes where we saw a list come out which actually had, I believe, Tyreek Hill as the number one overall player in the NFL, and we know that's not really the case. And I'm pretty sure here that ESPN is going to rectify that by making Patrick Mahomes that number one player. But I haven't looked to see who the number one player is. So let's go over the top 20 based on ESPN of those players in the NFL. Patrick Surtain the second coming in at number 20. Cornerback for the Broncos, age 24, and his rank last year was 34, so moving up that list. Aiden Hutchinson of the Lions, edge rusher, 2023, ranked 67th. He's now up to 19. Fred Warner of the San Francisco 49ers, last year ranked 23rd. He's now bumped up here to 18. Interesting. How about that? Linebacker getting a lot of play in the top 20. Sauce Gardner at 17 of the New York Jets. Last year, he was actually rated 14th. So took a little bit of a step back here. 2024 projections, 62 tackles and 2 interceptions. You might say to yourself, how can he be a top cornerback with only 2 interceptions? Well, they don't throw at you. That's why you're a shutdown cornerback. You might see 5 total passes a game come your way as opposed to them trying to pick on somebody else. Nick Bosa of the San Francisco 49ers as an edge rusher. He comes in at number 16, where last year, he was actually ranked number 9th overall. Number 15, C.J. Stroud of the Texans. Last year, unranked as a rookie, now catapults into the top 20 at 15. I can't say I disagree. I'm expecting big things here this year. C.J. Stroud, another 4,000 passing yards this year. You know, close to 30 touchdowns. Let's get it popping. Trent Williams, who, by the way, I don't think has shown up to training camp yet here for the San Francisco 49ers. He was ranked 18th last year. He's 36 years old, and he's ranked as a top 15 player in the NFL. Shows how dominant he is. Joe Burrow, quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, last year came in as a 4th-rated player. Now drops back to 13 because we're worried a little bit about that wrist and how it's going to turn up. How about Chris Jones, defensive tackle of the Chiefs? He comes in at 12th on the list here. Last year's rank was 27. Number 11. Has yet to show up at training camp yet. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver CeeDee Lamb, the 25-year-old who came in last year ranked 33rd on the list, has bolstered up to 11th and rightfully so. If he is healthy, if he is back in training camp, and he is paid, he will be hell on wheels once again this year. Expect over 100 receptions, 1,500 yards, maybe 10 touchdowns. That's what he does. Top 10 now on the ESPN players list here for NFL action. T.J. Watt comes in at 10th. Last year was ranked 15th. See what we got here. Signature stat for him. Since entering into the NFL in 2017, Watt has 20 strip sack fumbles caused, which is the most in the NFL. How about this? A running back inside the top 10 who we haven't seen for a couple weeks practicing here so far. That's Christian McCaffrey of the San Francisco 49ers, ranked number 10 overall. And yes, we are expecting big things from McCaffrey. Why? Because he's been so phenomenal with his time here with the San Francisco 49ers so far. Rest of that top 10 as we get down is McCaffrey is 9th. 8th overall is Tyreek Hill. 2023rd rank was 16th. So he cut that in half and moves up the list. The 30-year-old just got paid once again this year. Tua Tagovailoa got paid. Jalen Waddle got paid. We're expecting big things. Number seven on ESPN's list, Micah Parsons as an edge rusher. His rank in 2023 was 6, so he's downgraded by 1. He's a phenomenal football player. How about this? Number 6. This is interesting. Ja'Marr Chase over Tyreek Hill. His rank in 2023 was 5. He's now dropped down to 1 and 6. Still having those issues here with wanting to get paid more money, and will he get paid more money? Top 5. So you know we're going to start to run into the quarterback realm now, people, right? Number 5 is Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills, who was ranked 7th last year, pushed it up to 5th. He is going to have a lot of heavy weight lifting to do this year for that football team. Lost his top wide receiver due to trade, replaced him with a young rookie out of Florida State in Keon Coleman, but we know the supreme talent that Josh Allen is, and it's up to him. If he plays well, the Buffalo Bills probably going to win that division, yes, even over the Jets and the Miami Dolphins. If he's average this year, they're not winning jack. It seems like it has to be all Josh Allen this year. Can he hold up to it? Number 4, edge rusher, Cleveland Browns. That's Myles Garrett, who last year was ranked 13th, now moves up to 4th here. Of course, we're expecting double-digit sacks and a lot of mayhem on that defensive line. Number 3, wide receiver. You know who it is. He's 25 years old, and he was actually ranked number 2 last year on the list. Did have some hamstring injuries last year, drops him back by 1, but that's Justin Jefferson. Sam Darnold's going to be the quarterback because J.J. McCarthy did get injured shutting down his season, but we're still expecting monster things. Like we've seen like Nick Mullins deliver passes to Justin Jefferson. He should flat out dominate once again this year, but how much domination can we get? Because Kirk Cousins, say what you want. A lot of haters of Kirk Cousins out there. Finds himself down with the Atlanta Falcons now. That man knew how to get Justin Jefferson the football. Now we're going to see if Sam Darnold can do the same thing here because we no longer are waiting on J.J. McCarthy, knee injury ruining his rookie year. We'll be out for it. Number 2 on the list and number 1, as I see him now, both quarterbacks. And I can't say that I disagree. Number 2 on the list, it's Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens. Last year came in 20th overall, has bumped that all the way up to 2. He has everything around him to be a fantastic football player this year, but the knock is always on Lamar Jackson is not necessarily what we're getting in the regular season. He's been tremendous. He's a multi-time MVP, and he deserves that. But in the playoffs, it's certainly questionable at best, and last year, they're going to rue this day. And if they win it this year, so be it. The stars aligned last year for the Ravens to win that Super Bowl. Home field advantage throughout in the playoffs, Kansas City in their building, weren't able to handle their business. And if they did make it to the Super Bowl by beating the Kansas City Chiefs, they would be playing the San Francisco 49ers, who they shatterbombed. I believe that game was on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day night when they hammered the San Francisco 49ers. And number 1 overall, is it any surprise? It should always be this list. 2023 is number 1, is 2024 is number 1 at ESPN. It's Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs' offense this year, I anticipate to be better than last year's team, which was good enough to beat the Dolphins in the playoffs, the Bills on the road in the playoffs, the Chiefs, then go into play Baltimore in the AFC Championship game and beat them, then go into the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers team that I thought would beat up the Kansas City Chiefs, and they won as well. Patrick Mahomes, rightfully so, the number 1 player on ESPN's NFL list, and deservedly so. But you know what? Major League Baseball is playing today, people. Let's start the handicapping process. Let's win some do right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League. Who catching? Because I'm pitching.
Yeah, who said that? It's the famous Rick Ross out there, people. We got baseball on a Monday. And actually, we have 2 doubleheaders, which will start in the afternoon. You got to love that, right? Don't you? Got a game at 1:10 Eastern. You got a game at 2:05 Eastern on a Monday. We'll take that each and every time. Big matchups today for this week, I should say, in some games here, particularly with Philadelphia and Houston. And then, of course, that doubleheader matchup with Kansas City and Cleveland. So a lot of big things going around. Atlanta, Minnesota in a key battle as well. So some pretty good stuff to look forward to. Now, as always, we'd like to set the table tonight and tell you about some of those pitchers over the past 60 days have performed very good and maybe not so good. The card today is a very mixed bag because you do have some pitchers that have the tendency to dominate, but also a lot of mediocrity on the card today. So we'll see if some of these batters do line up. So let's go over the pitchers who have 19 pitchers qualified over the past 60 days with a minimum of 20 innings pitched. The top five pitchers on the card today, just based on XFIP numbers, Kyle Gibson, of the St. Louis Cardinals, Bryce Miller of the Seattle Mariners, Bailey Ober of the Minnesota Twins, Cole Reagans of the Kansas City Royals, and the top pitcher on the card XFIP-wise today, last 60 days, Zach Wheeler at a 3.37. So if we go 1 through 5, it's 3.88 at the high number for Kyle Gibson, the low-end number here of 3.37 for Zach Wheeler. By the way, Wheeler, 2.75 ERA over the past 60 days, Bailey Ober at 2.17, Bryce Miller at 2.28. And then you see that high number, like Gibson's fifth in line, 52 and two-thirds innings pitched over the past 60 days. He's got an ERA of close to 5.5, but a much better XFIP number, so maybe just getting a little bit unlucky. But if we're looking at the bottom five pitchers on the card today, as follows, Mitchell Parker of the Washington Nationals, Davis Martin of the Chicago White Sox, Randy Feltner of the Colorado Rockies, Randy Vasquez of the San Diego Padres, and the worst pitcher on the card today, XFIP-wise at over a 5, that's Cooper Criswell of the Boston Red Sox. So game number one, Cole Reagans will be on the mound. We just told you, he's top two on the card. Hasn't really had too many struggles this year. You do have a decent hitting lineup in Cleveland, as we know. Ramirez, Fry in the middle of that lineup as right-handed batters could be able to do damage, as well as Jonkenzie Noel, who's hit left-handed pitching very well over the past 30 days. But I'm going to stick to the numbers and not fade Cole Reagans. Now, Nick Sandlin will be on the mound here for the Cleveland Guardians. I don't know how long he's going to go in this game, but if you're looking at his previous 40 batters that he's faced, he's got an ISO against a 400 and a weighted on base percentage of 419. Now, it's not a lot of batters that you can sort of like pick and choose to yourself and say, okay, I think we can really fade this. But the one thing I do know, there's two guys in this lineup that have absolutely smashed right-handed pitching over the past 30 days, and that's Bobby Witt and Vinny Pasquantino. Bobby Witt Jr. has got a 400 ISO power number through his last 80 at-bats against right-handed pitching. That's outrageous. Vinny Pasquantino, 78 at-bats. He's still got a 264 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 381. By the way, MJ Melendez also with decent numbers at a 283 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 403. So I do think Kansas City should be the favorite, and they are. I do think we have the propensity for a good chance at runs, but if I'm just looking to dial in and say, give me some prop bets, probably starts and ends there with Vinny Pasquantino and Bobby Witt. Be shocked in game number one if each one of those guys can't muster at least an RBI. And that's game one of that doubleheader, as well as game one for today. Game number two today, which will actually be game number one of another doubleheader, that's Toronto and Boston. Yoriel Rodriguez will be on the mound. He doesn't have very good numbers here, by the way, for the Blue Jays. 205 ISO, weighted on base percentage, 362 through his last 92 batters he's faced. On the season, he's faced 145 right-handed batters to the tune of an ISO of 203 and a weighted on base percentage of 354. Keep in mind, that Red Sox lineup does project extremely well against right-handed pitching. If we're just looking at the top seven batters in the lineup, every one of those ISO power numbers, above average. 76 degrees in Boston at first pitch, 6 mile-an-hour winds blowing at the right field. You might be looking at some decent action from Boston's perspective. Now, from Boston on the mound today, Cutter Crawford. See if he even, I don't think he even has enough. He's got 126. Why does he have 20 innings here over the past? So maybe with a doubleheader, it's throwing things off just a little bit for my eyesight here. But Cutter Crawford, a 287 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 356. So if we're looking from an angle of, yeah, Vladdy should hit, yeah, Spencer Horwitz should hit, that might factor in. We might be looking at a total there in Boston today. Let me get some updated numbers here. What are we looking at here? In that Crawford-Rodriguez game, now, did I have the right thing set up here? Yes, we do. Okay. Sometimes it transposes some of those numbers on the doubleheader games. But Toronto and Boston today is a 9.5 total at most outlets, some creeping up as high as 10. I think there's a really good chance we can actually get that 9.5 number because those lines do set up well. So not bad right out of the gate. Some Kansas City RBI props you can look at and also some props there from Toronto and Boston. Second half of the doubleheader, which is always hard to handicap between Kansas City and Cleveland. Alec Marsh will be on the mound. Decent pitcher so far last 60 days. He's got a 5.61 ERA, which is brutal, but it does get a little bit lower in the xFIP number at 4.35, so something to keep an eye on there. Logan Allen on the mound for the Cleveland Guardians. His last 30 days, he's only faced 21 batters, and he's gotten hammered. And keep in mind, for the season itself, guys, 408 batters Logan Allen has faced, 248 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 387. So it's hard to project what that lineup is going to be at 6:40 p.m. tonight. But I got to tell you right now, we might be looking at Kansas City once again, depending on winning or losing game number one, because they're going to fill out that roster regardless, and it's probably going to be decent going up against Logan Allen. So maybe Kansas City can get a sweep today. We'll see. Favorite in game number one, slight dog in game number two. We don't know who that roster is going to be, but keep an eye once again on those Kansas City batters in game number two. Houston and Philadelphia today, we told you the best pitcher on the mound per xFIP numbers is Zach Wheeler at 3.37. Houston's lineup does look decent. Bregman, Diaz, Singleton, Caratini all have higher numbers in weighted on base percentages against right-handed pitching, but it's Zach Wheeler here. If you want to somehow take an angle against Zach, it would be being a left-handed batter. Maybe it's John Singleton, you never know. But from a Phillies perspective, Blanco is on the mound today, and he actually has a 4.03 xFIP number, which isn't bad. But if you are looking to fade Blanco in any way, it will be left-handed batters Kyle Schwarber and Bryce Harper today. It's Donnie Wrightside on a solo mission. One more segment to go. Come on back. Let's talk to Major League Baseball.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I told you throughout this show, I think the Cubs might be dead to me for the rest of this 2024 season. But then you get games like today, and you say, is there a will? Is there a way? They're a slight underdog to the Pittsburgh Pirates today, but Mitch Keller will be on the mound, and he has struggled on the season in the past 30 days with left-handed batters. We know there are some decent left-handed batters in the lineup today for the Cubs. Haps, a switch hitter, hold back from the left-hand side. Michael Busch, as well as Cody Bellinger. And then a little bit later in that lineup, Pete Crow Armstrong has done very well against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. Those are decisions that I might have to make a little bit later. Jameson Taillon will be on the mound here for the Chicago Cubs. And if I'm lining up Taillon here, 6 on the card today to 3.88 xFIP number. So maybe not fading anybody, but sometimes, man, we just like to get beat into the ground. They were so disappointing yesterday for me, the Cubs. But and again, a different day, a different order, a different chance to play again, playing in that cavern down in Miami. You're going to Pittsburgh. It is a pitcher's ballpark, but at least you're getting some outdoor heat and humidity with about 85 degrees at first pitch tonight. Maybe they can change that around. Nestor Cortez is going to be on the mound today for the New York Yankees, going up against Washington's Mitchell Parker. And I don't have a lot of faith in Mitchell Parker, to be honest. He's a left-handed pitcher that struggles with right-handed batters. Oh, there's one right-handed batter you might want to try to stay away from today. It's Aaron Judge. His last 33 at-bats against left-handed pitching for the big man. 5.67 ISO, weighted on base percentage of 5.39. Now, if we take a look at the season, Mitchell Parker is a lefty. He's faced 133 left-handed batters. He's been sensational against them. An 0.86 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 305. He actually improves that over the past 30 days to an ISO of 0 and a weighted on base percentage of 256. Why I'm bringing that up? Juan Soto's numbers are incredible against left-handed pitching, being a left-handed batter. His last 46 at-bats, 556 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 498 with only a strikeout margin of 8.7%. So I understand the numbers technically don't make sense from a pitching standpoint with Mitchell Parker. I just told you dominated lefties, but something's got to give. A lefty that's that hot at the plate going up against a pitcher that handles lefties, what's going to give up there? Or should I say down in Washington, D.C. tonight? Toronto and Boston game number two. Barrios will be on the mound going up against Nick Pivetta. Pivetta's really struggled this season overall, but that's one you have to wait, sit back and wait, I should say, as that one also is a day-night doubleheader between Toronto and Boston. Atlanta and Minnesota, Max Fried will be on the mound today. Struggles against left-handed batters. Go figure, he's a left-handed pitcher. But he's only going to face, I believe, one left-handed batter in the lineup tonight, which is Trevor Larnach. And that lineup has not hit all that well for the Twins against lefties over the past month. Bailey Ober will be on the mound. Sensational statistics, by the way, for Bailey Ober over the past 30 days. And even in the past 60 days, a 2.17 ERA. The Braves do have some decent numbers in the lineup tonight. Solaire, Ozuna, and Olsen have factored in quite well against right-handed pitching. But that's one of those games where not really looking from a plate perspective, from a pitcher perspective. I think that game does stay under the total. San Diego and St. Louis. Randy Vasquez will be on the mound for the Padres. 4.80 xFIP over the past 60 days. Second worst on the card today. But the question is going to be anybody for that St. Louis lineup will be able to step up. Only two plus batters against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. That's Carpenter and Arenado. Everybody else below the Mendoza line. So good luck on just taking a flyer in that game. Kyle Gibson will be on the mound. He's actually a top five pitcher through 52 and two-thirds innings pitched on the card today with an xFIP of 3.88 over those last 60 days. But the last 30 days really haven't been all that kind to Gibson. At 209 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 372. And outside of Cronenworth, everybody on that Padres team has a weighted on-base percentage that is above average. Something to keep an eye on. Taking a look at the White Sox tonight, we're looking to lose their 101st game of the season. Are going to send Davis Martin out to the mound, who is, let me see, what's his record, Davis? He's 0-2 through four games started, 22 and a third innings pitched over the past 60 days. He's got a decent ERA of 3.22, but an xFIP of 4.44. Maybe going to lay off that game overall. Miami and Colorado, two bad baseball teams getting together in the Colorado Rocky Mountains. Edward Cabrera will be on the mound today. Not great numbers here. Not a great lineup going against him here for Colorado. And then Ryan Feltner will be on the mound. And we told you 17th out of 19th on the card today. 0-4 in his last eight starts. 41 and two-thirds innings pitched over his past 60 days. He's actually got an ERA of 3.02, but an xFIP that's 4.50. His last 57 batters that he's faced, a 216 ISO against, and a 353 weighted on base percentage. You know who probably is going to go yard tonight? That's that Burger Boy, baby. 76 at bats against right-handed pitching over the past month for Jake Burger. 2.77 ISO power number and a 431 weighted on base percentage. Tampa Bay and Seattle, yeah, go to sleep early. Not going to be sleepless in Seattle. Going to be runless in Seattle tonight as that game probably stays to the under. That'll do it for today's Monday edition of Moneyline. We'll be back tomorrow once again for Donnie Wrightside and JP behind the wheels of steel. Thanks for tuning in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shaped the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.